Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing?
Getting tired of Mother Nature flipping coins each day for the weather.
Oh, you think you're tired of it? Talk to our farmers out there that are listening. I mean, they've been trying to plant corn and get things going, and then things aren't growing fast enough. The weeds are growing fast enough, but nothing else. Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. We had that like one sunny day, mm-hmm. and it was amazing, and then it was gone.
And Thursday was ugly.
Not good. So I am hoping, other than I think we have to put up with a little wind for a day or two, I am hoping next week does appear to look a little bit better. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
The real estate gods need to smile on us, give us some sunshine to make our showings a little more pleasurable out there.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, we always like to start off with our crazy national celebrity story. And this one coming out of New York City. This is a townhouse that was originally designed by Gianni Versace.
Oh, and so fashion, right?
Yes, fashion. So here's your chance to live like fashion royalty. The house was built in 1950, bought by the designer in 1995. Listen to this, for $7.5 million. Then it was bought by a hedge fund, by the Swedish hedge fund manager, for $30 million in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have it on the market for $70 million. Ooh. I mean, this thing seems to double in value every 10 to 12 years. I mean, if I'm still doing a radio show in 10 years, McKay, we might have a story saying it's $140 million.
What are they doing to the place?
There were some massive remodels done on it. But here's the interesting thing. It was all taken back to that very classical, we'll call it La Dolce Vita glory. And so to me, I ain't spending my money on it. Exactly my style, but, it is very, very period correct. I will tell you that much for sure. Well, we always like to, couple that with a real estate story that we have in our local market and stuff that affects us here locally. So a couple things coming up. As expected, most people heard about the interest rate hike that happened this last week. Mm-hmm. But built into the market already, we've talked about rates the last couple weeks. So not unexpected. Built into the rates that we're seeing out there, we've given people plenty of options to deal with that. But another thing that creeps up in markets, and this was an interesting topic of discussion when I was at our real estate conference and National Mastermind a couple weeks ago, and that is top U.S. metros where cash home sales are on the rise.
Hmm.
And this was a big deal for a certain number of agents in very specific markets when we were at the conference, but so just to round out, give you an idea of the top 10 U.S. metros where cash sales are on the rise. They're spread out. It's very interesting. Fayetteville, Springdale in Missouri,
mm-hmm.
Up almost 20% with cash sales. Ann Arbor,
Michigan.
You've got Charlottesville, Virginia. Los Angeles, not surprised, Los Angeles, Long Beach, California, that mm-hmm. market. And then you've got, here was an interesting one I wasn't expecting, Duluth.
I've actually been
out to Duluth in the last like 2 years. We were out there visiting for some hockey and super cool area. Now, mind you, I think I'm a little bit jaded though, because I was in Duluth in July. And a lot of I was like, man, this place is awesome. And all of the locals, you know, we were down on the waterfront and stuff. Mm-hmm. And all of the locals are like, just wait 2 months and see what you're saying. Then there's a reason why the cold weather Duluth Trading Company, you know, is based there. But if you would like to go in the summer, a great place. But cash offers big on the rise there. And so it's really, really interesting. Of note, though, in this article and quoted, this is why it comes up in our local, is the areas where cash sales represented the smallest share of transactions in quarter one, 2022, coming in Kennewick, Washington.
Wow.
At only 17.2. So our metro area shows up in those reports. We've reported a very similar number when we do our loans and how properties are bought in early January on this show. But here's a thing that, and maybe some people know this, some people don't, but it's been reported on the news a number of times. But what has happened and become very, very popular over the course of the last 8 to 9 years is what we call institutional buying of properties. And that's where these hedge funds that have hundreds of millions of dollars. In the past, they always, when they would go in and buy real estate, they would buy commercial real estate or they would buy maybe apartment complexes. Well, what's happened now is these hedge funds and these companies have been able to put together a conglomerate of single family houses. And you've probably heard of companies like Blackstone. They've been in the news and talked about. Well, they've actually gone out. They've put the process together where they will take, they'll take, you know, $100 million or $200 million, and they will go out and actually buy individual homes in a city that they want to be invested in. And then what they do is they turn those into rentals, and then they rent those single family homes. And then the returns from that go back into that portfolio, and then their investors receive, you know, hopefully at some point, the
dividends goodies
and the returns on it. The bad part about that is we have never seen institutional buying at this rate in the United States. And so when people talk about one of the biggest issues that's going to be facing our country over the next 20 years, and that is home ownership in the U.S. and first-time home buyers having available properties to buy, a lot of people view this as an attack on that facet of our lifestyle. Because now, when we were already in a nationwide inventory shortage, we now have institutional buyers coming in and they are offering cash. And we've talked about on the show a lot. It's very difficult to compete with a cash offer.
Yes.
So a homeowner, nothing against the individual homeowners out there, but it's been rare that we've seen institutional money in a dealing with an individual homeowner. In the past, it's always been individual to individual. Well, it's not, you know, no one can really fault the homeowner that says, yeah, I'm going to take that cash offer guaranteed close in 2 weeks versus a financed offer. So this is going to be an issue affecting a lot of people. I mean, we've talked about on the show, too. We've seen countries like Canada and stuff put the kibosh on foreign buyers for two-year periods. And those markets, some of those Canadian agents were at the conference I was at, those markets, Toronto, Vancouver and stuff that had foreign money coming in, those real estate markets are taking a hit in the number of transactions and the market reports going down. Now, taking a hit in one stance, meaning the agents there and the people dealing with those markets are not getting as many sales or as high of a sales price, but long term, it hurts and pains now, but long term, that's part of what they wanted that policy to do, drive those prices down, and then more people can afford to buy them. Who gets hurt in that situation, though, sometimes? Speculative investors who have bought those properties or non-speculative investors that have to move. What if your job was in Toronto, you bought 2 or 3 years ago, you bought a condo for $600,000, and now you're getting relocated to Moose Jaw or Manitoba, wherever, and you have to sell that condo in that market, and now that price has gone down to $450,000 or $500,000, and you're just a normal Joe Blow in the street. There are market dynamics there. It's not an easy one-size-fits-all solution. So, but that's why we're seeing in some of those markets, I would feel worse and bad for home buyers in those markets. The individual home buyer, we're very, very fortunate that we have not had a lot of that here in Tri-Cities. So it's an advantage for our buyers out there in this market. But some of the agents at this market were super, super frustrated. They're like, my FHA buyers, my first time home buyers and stuff, we can't compete against these institutional buyers. So kind of nice to see, actually. So good news. I like to report some good news out there in the real estate market that as far as Kennewick goes, we were on the right side of that report coming out of Adam Research. So
yeah,
love seeing our name in those reports highlighted on a national level. That does take me to our very specific market stats here for Tri-Cities. Inventory still, end of April reports, May 1st listings as I ran those stats, 329 active listings only. Mm-hmm. Okay, but listings listings sold last month, 358. That's, we're still, with everything, with the rates going up and higher, we're still running at less than a one-month supply of homes on the market. And our average sold price still staying very high up there at 455. So we're watching these, we're watching these numbers weekly and then reporting them monthly here on the show. Overall number of transactions down last month. So down, so in April versus March, but not by a lot. 358 versus 384. And then once again, I said low inventory is going to cause things to drive down. Average days on the market decreased again from 28 to 24. So, ooh, and that's over the entire market. So moving very, very quickly still. And then what price point sold the most? 19% of the homes sold last month sold between 400 and 449,000. So 400 to 450, the way we run our reports. And then interestingly enough, our upper end market still staying pretty steady, about over 800,000, 15 homes sold last month above 800. So I tell you what, there's some, there is some, I'm not going to say it's $1 million listing Tri-Cities, but it's there. There were, I felt like it earlier this week, a fellow agent at another firm had a broker's open up on Southcliff out there. Basically Thompson Hill for all the old folks out there like me that used to call it that. But Southcliff Development, great build project out there. But we were looking, we were touring through and had a broker's open at a $2 million property, a average cost, you know, specifics weren't released, but basic build cost, you know, from the rumblings up there was around $2 million to replicate that house. And so,
wow,
so there were some cool houses, and there are some builders in Tri-Cities just knocking it out of the park with some of the stuff they're doing. Yeah, I mean, it's really stuff you would see in other markets now being here in Tri-Cities. Super fun to see our build community taking advantage of that and putting some amazing projects together. And speaking of that cost, and what I wanted to talk about today is the numbers are out, and I've been waiting for this report to come out, and it is the 2022 cost versus value report. And so we've talked about this. People are calling us all the time, and they're saying, what's the best return on my money, Lance? Like, you know, like I know you flip houses, and you have a construction company also that works in the residential market. So what's the best return on my money? And so before I put my house on the market, what am I going to do? And so this report has changed a little bit over the years. And it's always, it's, I always love when we get to see this on the show. But my concern was costs have gone up so much with remodeling. What is that going to look like now? Supply chain issues, cost increases. What does it look like versus the sales price of the home? And my fears were not wrong. This is actually the what happened is the ROI on these projects went down from 2021 by 1.2%. So not a lot. But what that is meaning, what that's saying is that the cost of the materials for the remodel projects has gone up faster than the resale value of the home. So what you could recoup in that project. Now, that's nationwide. I will tell you, because our house prices have gone up so much here in the Pacific Northwest, that the Pacific region of this report, they take it and then they break it down. The Pacific region of this report was leading the pack. We were actually the number one value versus cost, and we beat the national average by 8%.
Wow.
So I can give you some examples of that, meaning that still, even though input costs have come up, the housing prices have appreciated enough here that you're getting that return on that value.
It's offsetting the construction.
It is offsetting the construction. So I know we're coming up on break because I talked a little bit about institutional buyers, but before we go to break, I'm going to get one of these out on cost versus value. Still, the number one project, and I know people, I'm going to say this, and there's going to be people listening out here on the radio, and they're going to cringe and say, good luck. But still, the number one return is garage door replacement. So on older homes versus, and it's that curb appeal factor. And so we're looking at an average job cost to replace garage door Pacific Northwest comes in at $4,190, but your resale value of that is $3,986. That project, you're recouping 93% of the money put in. Now, here's the problem where people that have been in this situation are just absolutely shaking their head right now is garage door supply chain issues is one of the worst building product issues right now out there. There are a number of builders. We have closed on new construction homes over the course of the last 6 months without garage doors. So if you drive by new neighborhoods and you see people living there and plywood up for the doors, I mean, yes, they could have a teenager that drove the car through the door, but more than likely, we're looking at supply chain issues. So if you're thinking about doing this, or your garage door is not working, or you've held off replacing it, or you're like, it's going to break soon, I would be preemptive and order that as soon as you can, because we're seeing stuff take 4, 5, 6 months on some of these, depending upon the style, on some of these garage doors to come in. So welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about the 2022 cost versus value report, talking about what you can put in your home that you're going to get the most money back out of, what changes that. Before we do that, we also went over some statistics in the market, and we talked about the continual lower inventory, even with increased interest rates. Still lots of buyers out there, active market. But we have some great inventory on board this last week. So pick three this week. Pick number one, we just put another new construction live out in Benton City, 1305 14th Street. This is the oak floor plan by Ambiance Homes. Awesome 3-bedroom, 2-bath, great room concept, just about 1,400 square feet, LVP flooring, quartz counters, full tile backsplash. I mean, folks, we're still bringing in new construction at $374,900. Every time we release another batch of these in the new phase, they're gone quickly. So if you're wanting to get into new construction, Benton City under 400, give us a ring.
Anything with a 3 in front of it is gone.
Quartz counters and brand new construction. Incredible. Pick number two, right here in Pasco, 5622 Remington Drive. This was a former model home, West Pasco townhome. You've heard me talking about the increase of townhome sales. Mm-hmm. Great value for the money. Great way to get into a home as prices have increased. 1616 square feet, great room concept, LVP flooring here too. I think this is just like a year and a half old. You've got bright kitchen, stainless steel appliances. Upper level has a huge primary suite, walk-in closet, dual sink vanity. I mean, you're getting all the stuff that you want in that new construction single family home. But in the townhome model, coming in at $350,000. So if you've said there's nothing in our price range, this is a great, great example. And then pick number three, taking you a little bit on the outskirts here, but 10901 North Pioneer up in Prosser. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath Victorian style home. Great location that's been redone with some of the modern features, but also has those beautiful hardwood floors, original hardwood floors. 1922 square feet, wraparound porch, gorgeous sunroom that overlooks the backyard, updated kitchen, upper level has 3 bedrooms, extra storage, and a second full bath. And then you've got a fully fenced backyard plus tons of mature landscaping. That's coming in at $349.9. I brought you every single pick three this week.
Yes.
With a three in front of it. And there is fantastic inventory for buyers that have been looking out there in that price range. So if you want to be on our list, our hot list for when stuff like that comes available, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and we will gladly get you on that list. So back to our cost versus value report. We've been going over the top projects that can return you the most amount of money. One of the things I do like to point out to people, and this is what we talk about, you know, we talk about a lot, and that is what's in this report, but what's not in this report. And so one of the things that you have to look at when you're in this report is, why am I making these changes? Am I just making these changes to return value? Mm-hmm. Or am I making these changes because I want a lifestyle enhancement? So what's not in this report is the value you get from a lifestyle enhancement. Maybe you need to increase accessibility to a shower or an area of the house, or you're accommodating a growing family, or you're moving to a multi-generational type setup. That's not going to be in here. We are strictly talking dollars in versus dollars out by the increased value of the home sale. And those are two different equations. Everybody likes to try to balance both of them, but that is not always possible. But when we're talking purely money in versus money out, the next big one on the exterior that we look at, and I mean, this is both, but I consider it the exterior project, and that is vinyl window replacement. Okay. And so we are looking at, in the Pacific Northwest, we are looking at job cost of this for an entire house, on average running $21,900. Returning value on the market at $16,500. So that exterior project, you're recouping 75% of your money. Wow. Now, like I said before, that doesn't even include energy savings, you know, aesthetic appeal that you got from looking at it. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the big ones that comes into play there for sure. Now, I said that there was one interior project that made the top 10 list. And this is a big one. And that is a mid-range. I didn't go high or low. There's different categories. But a mid-range kitchen remodel. Okay? Because when we look at the houses, and I talk to sellers all the time about this, in general, when someone comes to look at the property, they're going to have already looked online. If it's a Kenmore Team listing, they've already gone through our Matterport 3D virtual tour. They've walked through the house. Mm-hmm. Generally, I find with buyers that we have sold the house in about, if they can see the kitchen from the front door, in about 5 or 6 steps into the house. Most buyers will come in, they'll have looked at the exterior, the curb appeal's great, it looks good, it's acceptable to them. They'll walk in the house, they'll get a feel for that, they'll see the kitchen. If it is mentally what they were prepared for, regardless of what else we see in the house, I usually can tell that the house is sold in that first 5 or 6 steps.
Wow.
If all the other information has been true and they had a rough idea and everything else checks out. So that's why this is so big on that list. And so, but if you do a mid-range kitchen remodel now, with the way costs have gone up, that is going to cost you about $30,000. In the Pacific Northwest. Now, granted, we get skewed a little bit here, mm-hmm. because California is included in this Pacific region for this report. Mm-hmm. So the number I'm giving includes some of the higher end costs there, but I specifically went mid-range. And man, when you tear into a kitchen now with appliances going up and tile work and stuff, if you redo all the cabinets, you're going to eat up that $30K pretty quickly. What does it return though? $24,464. So that's returning almost 77%.
That's pretty good.
Of the money in it. And that is really the number one interior project if we split these up, interior, exterior, from the report. And I got to tell you, from 20 years of being in homes with clients and going through that, mm-hmm. that kitchen, the way it feels, the way it looks, it's a big deal to the buyers out there. Next on the exterior list, and we're coming up on this season of the year where this is absolutely huge, and that is deck addition.
Okay.
Outdoor living. And so if you look at average cost of, you know, a large deck, if you do composite material that's going to last for years and years.
Trex.
That's coming in around $28,000, recouping about $20,000. So you're looking at about a 73% return on value there.
Well, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad. And it was interesting to see what dropped this year big time is usually just right below garage doors.
Mm-hmm.
Was entry doors. But entry door costs have gone up dramatically. And so here's one of those.
The front door.
Yeah, the front door. I think a lot of people in today's market are choosing just to repaint that and freshen it up than go for full replacement. Job costs now on front door replacement coming in around $2,400, but only returning about $1,660 on the market. So
wow.
Where before that was a big one in the top two or three in years past when we've done this.
Yeah.
Now that's dropped only about a 69% return on your money. So as different costs and supply chain issues come around, you've got to consider that. And I didn't mention when I talked windows, I just got quoted windows on a house we were working on yesterday,
mm-hmm.
12 weeks out window replacement. So we talked about that job being a big one. But if you've got failed seals in your windows and you want to be ready for winter, I mean, mm-hmm. It's crazy. Last I checked, it's May, Lance. But I'm giving you a tip that says if you want to have your windows replaced for this coming winter, October, November, you should be getting with your window supplier now.
Yes.
And putting that order in right now if you're going to plan on having those. So
that makes me wonder now because we're replacing a skylight.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And the cost is not bad at all in the job. But now I'm wondering
when.
Yeah, because last week, guy said, can I run by the house? You don't have to be there. I just need you to give me permission to get up on the roof and remeasure and double check. So he went by and got up there. And so now I'm like, how long are we going to be waiting?
Yeah.
I haven't asked him. Maybe I should.
It could be a little while for sure. Yeah, that could be a big one for sure. The next interior project that hit our list, and that is a bathroom remodel. Okay. And so the bath remodels coming in at about 67% return on money in versus money out. And then you start to get down to stuff where people are asking about this and it's like, should we do this or not do this? The next interior job, was master suite addition. So let's say you're in an older home and it doesn't have a detached master, mm-hmm. right? And that has an actual, primary. I was reading off my cost value report and they have not upgraded their fair housing language. So the primary suite addition, in my industry, we're upping the game here. So let's make sure we're using the right terms. So the primary suite addition. That's really funny that this report now you've got me stumbled up here, McKay, on the show today, because that's really interesting that this company. I mean, I don't think I could really change it for the show because I'm quoting from the cost versus value 22 report, but I will call it the primary bedroom addition. That's only returning about 60% dollar for dollar. So it's one of those things where you might look at then how much is this going to cost us versus moving mm-hmm. at that situation? Because if there's plumbing that has to be moved and it's going to be difficult, we're redoing a primary bath and a primary bedroom. I mean, we're looking at $50,000-$60,000, you know, in that, depending upon how your house is set up, you go through that process and then you're only going to get, say, 25 of that back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's look at now what's on the market. Or if you are selling and moving, let's consider not putting the money there. Let's go back and look at the kitchen. If it doesn't need it, a little bit on curb appeal. And then bingo, bango, we're down the road, and you didn't have to invest that time, effort, delays with supply chains to get the most amount of money. So really, really interesting when we start to get down to the nuts and bolts of what the payback is, knowing what those numbers look like and how that relates to getting you as a seller top dollar for what you're looking into. So those are the big, big takeaways from the cost versus value report. Exterior changes really ranking supreme on your list there, keeping that curb appeal up. As we come into summer too, buyers are spending more time outside in front of the house. Mm-hmm. They're looking around more. When they leave the front door of the house, it's warm. It's going to be warm out. We hope it's eventually going to be warm out. And they're standing there discussing the house, looking around. How does the yard look? Should we make an offer? Happens every time. Put a lot of focus on that section, and this report reflects that data for sure. If you have any questions about that, that's what we do all week long, every week. We like to go out and give these evaluations and help out. Go to KenmoreTeam.com, request a market value report, request us to come out and let you know what you can work on. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.